Good evening, and welcome to this entertaining round of golf conversation on 1500 ESPN. Next on the tee, this is the 603 pairing from Bloomington, Joe Stansberry. And from Minneapolis, Craig Tyken.
Welcome aboard another edition of Tee Time. We are back after the Labor Day holiday. That was kind of nice. Feels like 3 weeks ago, not just 2 weeks ago that we were here. But fall ball has started, my favorite time of year to play this great game of golf. And on the show, we'll be talking about a number of destinations within the upper Midwest that we like to visit at this time of year. And I'd like to start off with a little congratulations to Ramsey County on a couple things. Ramsey County with their courses. They have the Ponds of Battle Creek, which is a 9-hole. But the Keller, you know, the job at Keller is amazing, you know, and then people talk about golf being down, Mr. Stansberry. Last week, I'm like,
not any place that I've been to.
Right, exactly. Last week, I get a call from a student of mine. He's like, yeah, let's play Thursday morning. So I go, all right, how about Gross? You know, I haven't played Gross for a while this season. Just wanted to check it out. Call up Gross. You got any tee times? Not until one. I'm like, nothing until one? No. And this is 3 days out, right? I'm like, okay, we'll
this is Gross.
Right, yeah, it's Francis Gross, sold out. I'm like, okay, well, I'll try, you know, Keller. He wants to go play Keller. Let's go play Keller. No, Keller was sold out all day on Thursday.
On a midday weekday.
Weekday, after the holiday. Okay. Right. Golf's in
my
trouble.
My favorite time to play.
Right, great. But Keller sold out. Well, good for them, okay. Goodrich, I love to play Goodrich over there. I called up Goodrich, and they did the very good thing that should be done at this time of year by
you
all courses.
You didn't pull the, well, don't you know who I am?
Believe me, they know who I am over there. But they did the good thing. Hey, we're punching the greens tomorrow. So they're going to be freshly punched. Do you still want to play? We're doing a reduced fee. And I'm like, nah, we'll find somewhere.
It's kind of early to punch.
Yeah. But
it's old school.
It's old school.
Old school was always the week after Labor Day.
Exactly. So anyway, but I like it when they tell you.
Right.
You know, and I think that should be courtesy throughout the golf industry is if people call up for a tee time and it's like, hey, we're aerating our greens, which needs to be done twice a year. And there's different ways of doing it. The less invasive ways now are with those thin-tined ones, right? Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they're doing it thin or whatever.
They're also deeper.
Yep.
You know, where it would be half the size of a pencil and about as thick as your thumb in the old days.
Yep.
And now they could be as long as 10 inches and, you know, up real skinny.
Right.
And it's different. It gets down deeper. They don't have to sand them.
So I think that's better. But whether it's old school or whatever.
You have to sand, you know, at times.
Yeah.
And the best that I've heard, and I've talked to a few superintendents that have had success, is they've gone to they wait till the very last minute.
Oh.
And then they deep tine with the thick one, though, and they sand the crap out of it.
Okay.
I mean, like, they leave, you know, and it acts like a blanket because it's got a sand cover. It allows, if you do have a rain, it soaks down. It doesn't sit on top and freeze when you got 40 days if it's frozen where the grass dies. So a lot of people have had success with that. Then they don't cover them.
Right.
So we should have a superintendent on.
Yeah, we will for sure. Once
for
we
the
get
closing,
closer.
Yeah.
Yep. And there's different ways to deal with it.
As long as we're still on and not on a podcast.
That's right. Who knows what's going to happen?
But we got the new stud. We got Manny with us.
That's good.
I've always been with you guys.
I know. That's what I mean. I was like, yeah, you're moving up the ranks. You're a big shot now.
That's good. That's good. It's much appreciated, Manny, that you're here. So anyway, they deep tine. So they're Goodrich. They're like, well, we're doing that. I'm like, well, we'll try Manitou Ridge. And Manitou Ridge, if people don't know, is off 694, kind of McKnight, White Bear Avenue area and White Bear Lake. 90 years old. Golf course is they're celebrating
really?
Their 90th birthday this year.
I never would have thought that.
Yeah, but it's a fun golf course to play. All levels of golf, good variety, very natural green sites. There's some things that, you know, some of the big 70s bunkers that are kind of out of play, all the bunker hills that I think eventually they're going to get taken care of, but they're, you know, not that big a factor. But the course is cut perfectly as far as the length of the rough. And the fairways are great, but the rough is, you know, not up, it's cut down. You can find your ball anywhere, play your ball anywhere. And when you're on top of the ridge up there in White Prairie Lake, you can see downtown Minneapolis, which is quite a view from quite a distance.
Thus Manitou Ridge.
Right, which is a bear. So,
right.
Yeah. So, fun golf course to play, 90 years old, great condition, nice variety, good for all levels. I'd like to see them add in a little bit more forward ladies and senior tees, though. I think it gets a little bit long from the forward tees at spots.
Do they have a couple of potential force carries, right?
Yeah, just a couple, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
but it's old school, 90 years old.
Yeah, and the greens just sit.
Pop-up greens. Yeah,
they sit right in the land, and there's the one par 5, number 6, that's on the side of this hill. It's just a great sloping green. You'd never see anybody do that anymore because they got to manufacture the green site and make 14 different levels to the green. And just to set in a simple dish green right in the side of the hill, really fun. And like I said, in great condition. And so happy birthday to Manitou Ridge. And then Ramsey County's doing a really good thing now, too. On weekends after 4, if you go and you pay your green fee, your kids are free.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. And some courses are starting to do it now. It's a movement that hopefully catches wave with you bring your kid. It's $5 to bring your kid. Which I think is really, really key for the industry to do. Because as a parent, you're sitting there going, well, if I got to pay, you know, 20-some bucks to play 9 holes.
Yeah, they might want to just play 3 holes and, you know, whether you got a cart or they're just walking. They may just want to, you know, do it. So you feel less pressure that they can do. They're just out there enjoying the game.
Right, and then to see if they like it.
Right.
You know, and to get kids out on the course and not just at the driving range or just taking lessons.
Right.
You know, on fundamentals, which is important too, but to get out and see if you like being out on the golf course.
Right.
Play 2-3 holes, don't play, just ride along.
Same with like fishing.
Yeah.
Take a kid fishing, you know.
Yeah. And you're not out enough. It should be, you know, after 4 at a public golf course, you roll up, you give the guy $20, you get a cart and yourself, you bring your kid with. I think would be one of the best promotions, you know, throughout golf, if people knew that. Because when you're sitting there and you're like, oh, they charged me $20 to play 9. Now I got a little 8-year-old with me and it's a full length course. I'm not going to make him walk the whole way.
Right. I mean, they may even have
now I got $15 for him.
Yeah. And they may have those forward tees, like first tees.
Yep.
But which sometimes are hard to find.
Yeah.
So, you know, just getting them out there. I couldn't agree more. Great idea.
Yeah. And so way to go, Ramsey County, on that. So look into that at Manitou Ridge or Ponds at Battle Creek. Ponds at Battle Creek over there.
Have you ever played it? No. And I've probably played 99.9%.
That's over by the prison.
I played Farmers Golf and Country Club.
Farmers?
Farmers, yeah. How many people have played that?
I don't know.
It's out southwest.
But, so, yeah, so
I always like doing that.
$5.
Yeah, you know, it's like Ricey. He used to go out, you know, you'd go out and then he'd write an article about all these outstate places and then some famous guy that were some, you know, character that'd be playing at the course. And so same kind of deal. I just like playing golf still.
Yeah,
I don't play it as well.
But, yeah, in any type of course that, you know.
Right. I went over.
They're all different.
I went over a week ago, last Thursday, and got a call from Brad Maxwell. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? Or Thursday, maybe Tuesday, because I don't know why. You want to play? I go, where are you playing? He goes, well, we're playing over at White Eagle, thank you. I was going to say Eagle Creek. And
I remember your life better than you do.
I know. Well, yeah. It explains a lot.
Yeah.
So, and I go, he goes, yeah, sure. What? He says, well, it's for some guy, Herb Brooks Foundation, and I'm kind of laughing. I go, yeah, I know what he says. Well, they had an event out there at about, I don't know, 18, 20 groups. The owner of the Wild, Leopold, was there. I got paired with Brad Maxwell, Tim Young, and Dean Tolliffus. And it was just, first of all, it was a perfect day. and then all these hockey players, and there was a few golf pros. And well, after he goes afterwards, we're going over to his restaurant, and J.D. Hoyts is, you know, bringing in all the food. Well, it wasn't a restaurant; it was a speakeasy. And
but you can't talk about it, can you?
Well, I can't tell you where it is.
Oh, okay.
Literally, it took two doors, and you got to have a special code. And I mean, and they had Hondo the magician, and it's downstairs. And some you literally walk down an alley, and there's just a number on the door. If you did not know what it was, and Dan Brooks, I heard he spent like $600,000 just on the ventilation system because it's a cigar club. And part of it, you get a box, cigar lock box. And they keep this area, like a walk-in humidor, but it's not walk-in because it's downstairs. It just keeps it all perfect. And the food was great, and it was like, and nobody pays for anything. That's how they get away with it. So it's not a restaurant. It's owned by, everybody pays X dollars to get in as a member. And then
is this in Utah or
in downtown St. Paul?
Oh, yeah.
Right by CHS Field. It was like literally you have to know the secret code to get in. Knock, knock. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, you're not allowed in. I barely met the height requirement, so I got that going for me.
Did they have that outside? Must be this high to ride this ride.
Yes. So it was just spectacular. I met Len Lilleham, I think is how you pronounce it. And he really interesting character. We might have him on in a couple of weeks. He was the last guy cut in 62 Olympics.
64.
No, Herbie was the last guy cut in the next Olympics. So maybe it was the 60 Olympics.
Right.
So one of those two, and really just a character. And in fact, he's the one that got me a nice cigar. The smoke. I mean, literally, it was a 2-day cigar. It was just really nice. So, but White Eagle, was in surprisingly good shape.
Well, I've never played White Eagle, so when we return, why don't you tell me a story about White Eagle? Now, that's just north of Hudson, right?
Yeah,
in between St. Croix National.
Yeah. Well, I've got a couple of good stories. A
couple of good things. All right, let's talk a little White Eagle, Wisconsin golf, and congratulations to the Packers. When we return on Tee Time.
Tee Time.
What is all this?
Golf, okay? Thank you.
On 1500 ESPN.
We're back here at Tee Time on 1500 ESPN. It's fall golf time. It's my favorite time to play. Anytime after Labor Day. Usually, like we were talking earlier, it's the time when...
You can go, hey, I want to play this place.
Yeah, less crowded. And
Not last week.
And the conditions are as good as they're going to get. The leaves are just starting to change. I was up a couple weeks ago in Brainerd. That was the first trees I was seeing change. And then even last week, now some of the maples are starting. It's just, and that's the time to take a kid out. You might see a deer. You might see a pheasant. You'll certainly see a lot of geese.
You know what the best time to take a kid out is? It's this Sunday at noon.
Yeah.
When the Vikings game. Are playing, you tape the first half, right? You tape the game. You get back in around halftime. You watch the first half without commercials. And then you catch up right to the game at the end.
Right.
You're live for the fourth quarter.
Right.
And you spend half as much time. And you can get out on the course because the courses will be empty.
You know what I saw? I've seen two of them now, and I had not seen very many of them. It's a big bird.
Sandhill cranes.
Sandhill cranes. Mm-hmm. They're all over. They're in migration right now. I love the sound. It's got this. And
how did I manage to guess sandhill cranes?
I don't know. I gave you a big bird, so.
Big bird.
And you're not going to say ostrich.
That's true.
But I went over to play, and that's where I was. I was over at Bill Block's place, White Eagle, over in, I don't know what if it's actually considered North Hudson, but it's up on the north side, mm-hmm. and used to take forever to get there. And it's probably 20 years old, I guess. Garrett Gill built it, who I've consulted with. I did some consulting on the legends and stuff. And when I went over there to play the golf course 10 years ago, there were a few holes that I wish Garrett would ask me, because Garrett does really well from irrigation and grasses and all the,
but right.
he, you know, and this isn't a cut on him. He just, he knows that that was kind of one of his weaknesses. And that's why, with my help, it, I think the Legends turned out to be his best design, even better. I think it's better than the Indian golf course.
The Wilds? Oh, I mean the Meadows?
The Meadows.
No, the Meadows is better.
No.
Yeah, the Meadows is better.
Well,
they're a sponsor. The Meadows is better.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Oh, they're far better. That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
they're both great.
So. No, but I have been out at the Meadows, and in the Ridge, with the first years, I thought it's going to be great. But then they didn't cut it short, and they kept it a little long. And so that, you know, kind of, now I was just out there, and it's a lot better. And they have taken some holes, and they're making really good changes out there. But anyway, back to Wade Eagle.
Making it more playable.
Yeah, and challenging, too, because they took a par five that they, you know, used to be kind of knock it on in two, and they, now you got to go over a pond, pool, mm-hmm. pond would be good for you.
Right, right.
So,
yeah. White Eagle, when you first went out there, what have they done to make it better?
Yeah, I'm telling you, first of all, the greens were perfect. Perfect. And they've got enough slope on them that you don't want to get them over 11 anyway, but they were speedy. I'd say 10 and a half.
Okay.
And driving range is right there. They've added a couple of tees. They've had some force carries just because of the land. It's, you know, it's a very hilly piece of property, but they've removed, they're probably at 70% removal of the trees that should have been. They still got the buckthorn. They've got a buckthorn issue. Any place in Minnesota that, you know, probably the most evasive plant for golfers. And, you know what they do now? They hire goats.
Yeah.
And I think they're like $10,000 a week, but they'll eat all of the buckthorn out, and they just clean out, you know. So there's a few areas between some of the holes that would really look really cool to be able to see through it.
Clear it out.
Get rid of all that buckthorn. And, you know, can you imagine how many? You'd probably get 10,000 balls. So.
Yeah, that stuff's nasty.
And they've got.
And then with the air movement, how it helps the turf there, too.
Yeah, anyway. I went over the bridge on the way back. Oh, that's a beautiful bridge, that new St. Croix Bridge.
Mm-hmm.
So that opened up that whole area up there. In fact, one of the guys I was talking to afterwards, guy bought 10 lots way back in the day for, you know, 20 years ago for $1,500 or something. And, you know, who's going to go there? It's like you'd have to go through North Hudson, which you're going 25 miles an hour just to get from 94.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now it's a breeze. So, you know,
and we were talking to Bristol Ridge, too. That's opened them up, too. Mm-hmm. And you could get to Amory so much easier, those courses in that area.
Yeah.
And then the, you know, the old Ski Hill golf course, St. Croix National,
mm-hmm.
which is a beautiful piece of land. And
in the little tight golf course.
Tight. Bring lots of balls. So, play a scramble.
But Bill's not afraid to spend some money over there. And,
oh, good.
And he built a brand new clubhouse. He burnt down the old one. They had the fire, local fire station, burn it down. And it's beautiful. So it's another good destination fall golf course to go play. And that in a week or two is going to be spectacular. So.
Well, that's good to hear. I've not played it. I've driven past it. I need to get out there and play White Eagle. But got down to Red Wing. I told you about that a couple weeks ago. And now we're going to talk about the River Valley Golf. But our River Valley Golf guest, guess what he has?
Leprosy.
No.
Starts with an L.
Laryngitis.
Oh, jeez.
Well, so we're going to have Daniel on next week.
That doesn't work well on a radio show, does it?
And they've got a bunch of good fall specials coming up at Clifton Highlands and Red Wing Golf Course and then Gopher Hills.
Yeah, and I played at Clifton not too long ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's another, you know, they've got new management. They're putting money into it. And they've got an opportunity in that, especially for fall golf. So I'm going to try and make a trip up to Brainerd before the snow falls. I got a call from Eric Peterson up there. He wants to play with me. So hopefully maybe in the next 2 weeks. You never know up there.
Well, you're a little doom and gloom. It's a little early. It's only September 10th.
I understand, but we're talking October 10th.
I know.
And it could be snow.
I know. It's all coming to a close here. I'm very sad about it. But something that's coming up in 2 weeks is the Ryder Cup. 3 weeks, actually. And they finally got the teams announced now.
Yeah, Tony Finau, final pick.
Yeah, and then I thought
it was going to be. Yeah, well, I'm you know, Tony's Mr. Top 10, Mr. Kashachek. They call him the ATM machine out there. He's got more top 10s here than, but he doesn't have a win. Xander Schauffele, I thought, you know, I mean, he's won twice.
Yeah.
And you do comparable stats, and they both played well. I think Xander, if he'd have won today, and those of you that are, you know, driving and didn't know, and you don't want to hear who won, then turn down your,
Was this the Olympics?
So, but there was a playoff, and
Keegan Bradley,
Pat Bradley's
nephew.
So, he won over Justin Rose, who now takes over
world number one.
Name the 4 year English men that have attained the number one status.
Well, it would have to be Nick Faldo,
Sir Nick.
Yeah, Tony Jacklin.
Oh,
but they didn't have that back then.
Probably, I don't know that he would have.
Ian Woosnam. He's from Wales.
No.
I don't know.
He went to Northwestern University.
Luke Donald,
and kind of Mr. Grumpy out there, but it's a good player. LW.
Lee Westwood.
There you go. Ding, 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 ding.
Not on this year's Ryder Cup team. We will go through the Ryder Cup rosters when we return on Tee Time.
And they golf.
And they'll be in Perry. So we'll be back.
And Tee Time on 1500 ESPN is brought to you by the Meadows at Mystic Lake. Experience perfection. Golf the Meadows.
You're listening to Tee Time with Joe Stansberry. And Craig Tykin.
Who the hell's my 9-iron
at? On 1500 ESPN.
Manny, you're so busy now, I don't know if we're going to have time for the Manny Project this year.
We might be able to squeeze it in.
We can go
there out. Might be some time for it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, how many shows are you on now?
Well, just one.
Okay.
Mackie and Judd, they've moved to the 3-6 slot now, and I'm producing for that now.
Yeah, congratulations.
I got my podcast, Raised by Wolves.
Yeah.
Talk a lot of Timberwolves stuff on that. Mix in a little Lynx talk there, too.
And is that on the 1500.com, or are you on the podcast?
Yeah. Yes, it is on 1500ESPN.com. You can find it at Podcast One and wherever else you find podcasts.
Well, we might be podcast if we're even on next year.
We'll have to see what happens. So did you watch the women's tennis, Manny? Did you guys take a take on that at all today?
I saw the end of it. I turned it on just before the whole
meltdown
incident that everybody was talking
about. The John McEnroe meltdown.
Yeah.
Well, it's really unfortunate that it had to go that way, and that the match. It's unfortunate that this young kid, Naomi Osaka, who's getting ready to have like the biggest moment of her young career. She's 20 years old. She's just a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets overshadowed by controversy and they're up on the podium and they're booing her. I don't think they were booing her. I think they were booing the official that got into it with Serena. And of course, they were a little disappointed by the result because I think a lot of people were pulling for Serena. But
yes. Well, it's a New York crowd.
Yeah. Right? And Serena, I think, handled it afterwards pretty well when they were booing. And she's like, look, this is not about what happened.
Yeah,
let's let this kid have her moment.
She apologized for, you know, the moment at that moment, too. So yeah. I think she handled it.
She's
a competitive person.
As somebody that has coached a lot of sports games with referees.
And women.
I just don't like the playing the women card on it at all. I just think the referee, no matter how wrong they are, they're right. And you have to adjust to the officials always. And that's why I try to tell my teams, whether it's hockey or soccer, you know, if they're wrong, they're still right because they're the referee.
Wouldn't you say, though, that to her point, that men often will do things like that and get away with it and not penalize? Because I think that was probably the bigger issue that she had with it, was not so much that she got penalized for what she did, but the fact that that men players do a lot worse than that and they don't get penalized. Like, she got penalized a game.
Well, like she gave her a called big, him a thief.
Yeah.
She called him, the official and called him a thief. Well,
but don't get me wrong.
McEnroe called him a lot worse and it took him a long time.
That's the thing. And I'm not defending her actions. And I don't even think she would defend her actions. I just think that for whatever reason, and I don't know if it was because she's a woman or not, but it just seems really weird to me that they would, that referee in that particular match, in that particular situation, because Osaka was going to win the match anyway.
Right,
she was outplaying Serena,
yeah.
And it's just unfortunate that you have to have that sort of thing.
But you have to have the brains as a competitor to understand the referee in that particular situation, though.
Can you? I mean, it's a U.S. Open final.
Yes, you can. That's what you have to do. You have to understand.
I don't know if it's that easy though.
Yeah, the first thing with the coaching is just a warning, right? So she got warned for coaching. And her coach admitted, yes, he was coaching. And everybody's coaching. I get it. Whatever. It's just a warning. You break your racket. It's just, you know, that's your second offense. It's just a point. You know, in soccer, if you yell at the referee, right?
But he gave Osaka a game.
No, that was after she yelled at him and called him a thief.
Yeah.
I think
that referee, at that point in that situation, just let it go. Because the moment's not about, if you don't like Serena calling you a thief, okay, I understand that, but that's like, don't,
yeah,
it's a U.S. Open final, and you're gonna hand Osaka a game, which, I mean, look, she was gonna win the match anyway because she was outplaying Serena, and I think everybody knows that, but it just, because more than anything, you're taking, what he did was he took what was supposed to be a really good moment for that kid.
And now it's
overshadowed.
No, you don't put it on him. It's on Serena.
Yeah,
to me.
But he did not have to award that extra game though. He didn't have to do that.
I think if you get yelled
he
at
did
that
it cause
way.
He did it because he wanted to.
Yeah, well,
he didn't have to.
Yeah, I know he didn't have to, but I just think it's Serena, come on, get over it. Be a professional.
She got over it, though.
Yeah. I was disappointed with that. Anyway, back to golf. You know, like when I get a card in soccer, okay? If I got to yell at the referee, they give you a card, a yellow card. Once you get that yellow card, you know the process next is to get kicked out of the game. So you gotta rein it in. You gotta tighten it up because they're gonna try to get, you know, and there's been a lot of times when there's been referees, male and female, that have wanted to throw me out of the game.
Yeah.
Right.
I know.
But that's when you've gotta have the brains to.
I don't disagree with you. I think she could have handled that situation a lot better, but I think.
At least she didn't pull the race card.
I think it needs to be.
She could have pulled the race card.
I think it's just unfortunate that situation happened, and I think if it was a male player, I don't know if that extra game for Osaka would have been awarded.
Yeah, I believe that you're correct there. I'm siding with Manny that I think that's the ultimate big problem.
Hopefully they tighten it up on those guys because they shouldn't yell at the referees that much. It's tough to get referees.
Well, okay. Here's my answer. Why can't you have a coach? It's an individual game, but why can't you have a coach? You should be able to have a coach.
Yeah, that's
and unless it
you can't in golf, unless can't it, in our sport.
It, unless it delays the game. Well, you can. That's your caddy.
Right, that's true.
Your caddy could be a coach. You got somebody in your ear.
Jason Day's coach is his caddy.
Correct.
Right.
That would have ended that.
Okay. So we'll get off the tennis thing, but Djokovic was unbelievable backstop yesterday, and Del Potro couldn't get anything past him, and he's up to tying Pete Sampras for third all time. You know, it's amazing in the men's tennis game right now that you have Roger playing still and Rafa playing so well and Djokovic. I mean,
and it's too bad Rafa had the injury and he had to step down because that's too bad.
Yeah, that's, you never want to see anybody hurt, especially a great champion. But that's been his story. He's had a lot of injuries.
He had a stretch where it was like a 2 or 3 year stretch where he really struggled because there were so many. I think it was a lot of knee injuries and everything.
Well, speaking of injuries related to golf, our friend Troy Merritt has been texting me. He did have a, what do you call it? in your
blood clot.
Blood clot. Thank you. And he played through it. He said he couldn't even, after he won, 2 weeks after he won, couldn't even lift his arm above his head. Ooh. And he played through it after another week. He got had a surgery because he's he was, I think he finished 91st. So right. He was that close after that type of, you know, major surgery. He tried to fight through and missed the cut by 1-2 weeks ago. But I think we're going to have him on as our special guest after the, like, the Ryder Cup captain.
Okay, so Ryder Cup quickly. So for the United States, and I just did this list. So you take the world ranking of the player, and that's how many points you get. Okay, so if you compare the, you know, so Dustin Johnson's number two ranked.
Yeah.
So that's 2 points.
Okay.
Okay. And then Europe has Justin Rose now as number one. That's okay. 1 point. So whatever your world rank is, that's what your point is. So our point total is 60 less on the U.S. side than Team Europe.
Oh, I see what you're doing.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So who would be favored based on that? But if you look at the Ryder Cup right now, nobody's ranked higher than 35th in the world that's playing in the event.
Who's the highest ranked player?
Poulter. Yeah. He's ranked 34th.
Right.
Okay. Cabrera Bayo's 30th. Sergio's 29. Hatton's 26. Stenson's 28. Okay. So that bottom half of the European side.
And they're kind of the senior citizens of the group. So.
Right. Yeah. They're not ranked nearly as high. So the highest ranked European, Rose and then Molinari, mm-hmm. who won the Open Championship, is ranked 5 now. Rory's number 6. Now, it's so funny that everybody's like, Rory isn't doing anything. He's 6 in the world right. still. It's like he's still playing pretty good. John Rahm made his debut, the young guy from Spain, at number 7. Tommy Fleetwood at 12. Noren at 16.
So, I mean, you just take those, and they're going to be your workhorses.
Yeah.
So they're going to probably play every match.
Right.
Because they're the young bucks.
Right.
Then you're going to fill in with your older guys. Sergio, he's not going to play every match.
No. Nope.
Ian Poulter, he's not going to play every match. So
Casey.
Casey's.
But he's 19 in the world right now. That's a great resurgence for Paul because he was down and out.
And then now talk about the U.S. team. You've got DJ.
He's number 2 in the world. Brooks Koepka is number 3 in the world.
Right.
And then, Thomas is 4.
They're both linebackers.
Yep.
Okay, now you've got a nice split out for your football team.
The little guy, Thomas, is number 4.
160 pounds.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, that's what they have.
Yeah, DeChambeau is up to 8 in the world now.
Yeah.
Think about that. Ricky Fowler is number 10. Jordan Spieth is number... Fowler's number 9, Jordan Spieth's
number
10.
Okay, right there, all of those guys are just fitness freaks, except maybe DeChambeau. So you're not going to have any problems. So, or you take those top 5 or 6 versus theirs, that's pretty equal.
Yeah, it's totally equal, especially in the format. You got to remember the Ryder Cup, you're playing alternate shot almost half the tournament,
and then
you're playing team.
And the U.S. did set up the golf course at Hazeltine to their advantage.
So you could spray it.
Correct. Now, what they're going to do at Le Golf in Paris is that's up to them. They have that right.
Right.
You know, they had a gentleman's agreement last year before they met that said they weren't going to really trick it up like they have in the past. So I think they kept it fairly good. But they didn't cut the rough so that the Dustins and boys could hit it and play it out of the rough.
And number 13 for us is Bubba Watson. He's 13 in the world. 14 in the world is Patrick Reed. Masters champion.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Finau, the last man named, is number 15. Webb Simpson's number 17. So our lowest two guys in the rankings on this team are a guy by the name of Eldrick Woods. He's ranked number 21. Think about Woods.
He was 500 a year ago.
He's ranked 500 a year ago. So he's all the way up to number 21. What a year. Amazing. And then Phil is number 25.
Right.
So people are like, oh, I don't know if Phil should be. I'm like, he's 25 in the world.
He won a world golf championship I met in Mexico.
So. Right, and he's putting out of his mind. You got all that experience. So not much drama with who they named. The only thing that was a little bit more controversial would have been a couple of the picks on the European side.
Well, I was pulling for Xander. I know you like Tony, but if Xander won this week, would you have picked him?
No. I mean...
Three wins? And higher world ranking at that time, he would be.
He would be if he would have won. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's really close. There's all kinds of great players.
Hey, Scooter and Big B, what do you think? We talk about this at my local watering hole. We one guy's a big Tony Finau and the other guy's a...
Yeah, I love the way Finau swings it and that length, you know, and if you've got alternate shot and... He's such a stud player, and it'll be fun to watch. Well, but anyway,
how important the captain is, right?
Absolutely. Thomas Bjorn's going to out-accent Jim Furyk. Jim Furyk's going to get in there and give him some speech. And the biggest thing he's got to do is have sharper clothes.
Well,
I worry about Furyk because he's not stylish.
The European players will have an advantage because they have played there.
Right.
And I don't know how many our players have. Now, I think a couple of them, I know Reed and I think JT, after the Open Championship, stopped there to play.
Right.
So.
It kind of depends on how the course is. Sometimes
and it's more of an American style golf course. And so it's got some water. It almost feels like, I just saw some flyover. It almost feels like a Florida kind of a. Water on the sides.
Well, coming up in 2 weeks, that'll be interesting. Now, the Tour Championship is coming up in over a week, so we'll get to that as well. At East Lake, and that's wrapping up. It used to wrap up in November. Now it's wrapping up in September, and next year it'll wrap up when it should, before the NFL season starts in
August.
Yeah,
but we got to talk about that, even though it's wrapping up, how they're going to do it when we return here on 1500 ESPN.
Nice swing.
Tee Time with Joe Stansberry and Craig Tykin is on.
Do you mind give me some pointers here?
Yeah, sure. Don't talk in someone's backswing.
1500 ESPN.
Hey, are you in a fantasy football league?
No,
you don't seem like a fantasy.
I don't need any fantasies. I really don't.
I know you've got the fantasy life, Mr. Rock and Roll guy. And,
yeah, I've got all you need. It's like when people ask me, "Do you
coaching girls soccer?" That's a fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great when you go into your first game and you're without your center defender, your center midfielder, and your striker.
Why is that?
Work, college classes, and immigration problems.
Manny, are you in fantasy football league?
I am retired from fantasy football.
Retired as a champion?
I went out on top. I went out as a champion. The last time I played fantasy football was 2015.
This was my 32nd year with the same group of guys.
Really?
They've done it 33 years, and I missed the first year. We used to have to phone in. He had to phone it in to the commissioner, and he had a clock on his answering machine.
32 years. That is dedication, Joe.
Yeah. Well, it's fun. It's a group of guys that I didn't really know. I knew one of them, and I've got to obviously be real good friends with it. And we have one of the most unique rules. Your team you draft.
You guys got to start having like annual owners meetings now every year since you've been doing it for so long.
Well, the year I won, I brought a keg. Back as nice. Hey, everybody, and I thought that would be kind of a cool thing, have the winner buy the beer, who cares, right? Anyway, but we have I think it's the best rule. The team you draft is the team that goes to the playoff. You do not redraft, and so it puts a premium on the teams that are going to make the playoffs. So I had the second pick. Gurley gets picked first. I pick Bell. But then I came. I just smoked them. I had Mahomes, I had Tariq, I got Sanders.
That looked weird. Watching the Chargers playing a home game at the soccer stadium in front of 20,000 people.
Oh yeah,
are they got that new LA thing open next year, Manny?
I think the plan is they're supposed to share that stadium with the Rams in Inglewood. That they're building it out there, and the Rams, I believe, are moving in there next year. I don't know if the Chargers will be as well or not, but it's a really, really, really weird situation out there in L.A. right now, playing in a 25,000-seat soccer stadium for an NFL franchise. A team that might actually be pretty good this year. I know they lost yesterday, but the Chargers are expected to compete for that division this year.
Okay. So.
My team is... Patrick Mahomes led Kansas City. I think that's the team.
They look good.
They're the sleeper.
Mahomes looked good yesterday.
Mahomes looked good. You've got, arguably one of the best running backs. And, and that just having a guy who can throw it 70 yards, you've got to defend it. So that's my two cents on fantasy. But I'm in a fantasy golf league, too.
Oh, that's great.
Been doing that for about the same amount of time, too.
That's so exciting.
All family.
Oh, wow. Tell me more.
So well, thrilled. I suppose you're in a fantasy soccer league.
Yeah, fantasy no, high school.
He's in fantasy tennis.
The fantasy tennis, yeah. I had Osaka, so I won the pool this weekend. It would be good. But you could in women's tennis, the thing that's amazing is now the high seeds really have been winning. You know, they get knocked out in the first couple of rounds.
The depth final of women's was, because Osaka was what, a 20th seed, and Serena was a 17, I think.
Right. Which is artificial because she was out for the year having the baby and the physical problems, and congratulations for her making it back. So
Top Golf.
So
opens. Grand opening.
You're going
Wednesday. You're going to.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that'll be I'm excited to I have not been in one. I've seen pictures of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what it's about. So I'm sure next week that'll be the first topic.
So it's media night.
I've driven by it now 15 times, you know, either going to Bunker or Majestic or, you know, I've given lessons up there. And every time, I mean, I'm driving by it at 10 o'clock on a Sunday evening or 10 o'clock and Sunday afternoon, or there's 50 freaking cars out there still working. I mean, they've been, that's been under construction for over a year.
And it's gone up fast. And they got the highest nets I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. Well, they got to be six stories. But you're not, I'll know, but I don't think you're allowed to bring a driver in.
Oh.
So you only hit irons. It's only 100.
They're hitting drivers. Like on the TV show, they're hitting drivers.
Okay, maybe for TV show stuff, but average Joe Blow. Because I guarantee you, I could hit a driver over the end of the...
The thing that'll be interesting to me is the price point and how much people are going to be willing to pay. Well, a friend of mine was just the one in Vegas, okay? Yeah,
that and one's probably a little more expensive.
Right, and for a stall that six people could share, but only one person hits at a time, they're talking about $75 an hour. And then you could go 15 minutes... increments after that for a stall to share, it's $75 an hour.
But you can play games. I think it's 50 here.
It's gonna be. Is that what it's gonna be? So figure out how much it's gonna cost.
Well,
but
you get two guys and you go for an hour.
Right.
I mean, you can get two stalls and you go for an hour. So it's $100. Four guys for an hour. You're playing games. And you get drinks and food.
Yeah, but then you get. She said they walked out of there in an hour and a half. They had a group of four people, and they spent over $300.
Yeah, well, it depends on what but Vegas, or it's $150 just for the stall.
Right.
It'd be more than that. It'd be $200 for the stall.
Right.
$100 for four people.
That's what's going to be interesting in our market, which is kind of a cheapskate market. Yeah, how is it gonna fly? And I'm wishing him well. I'm not trying to be negative guy over here.
Yeah, but Vegas. But see, Vegas is different. Vegas has a swimming pool behind it. It's got they get laced up servers and
right.
So I mean, it's different. What I'm more interested to find out is if it's 20 below, are they open?
Right.
It's three stories. In the stalls, I know we had one of the marketing guys.
It costs more to be up high.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh. And up on the third level, at least this was in Vegas. This is she's telling me that's where you could get liquor. Like on the first level.
Oh,
well, maybe you couldn't have liquor.
Maybe that's different.
It's 21 plus upstairs.
I see. Well,
So we got to do all this research. So go out there.
Yeah, but I'm excited. And I like the idea. You get little computer chips, and you know, you can play games with yourselves. It's like a bowling alley, you know. And it's not golf,
right?
It's like you're in a giant pinball machine,
right?
And that's what it is. And you know, and if you they have events that go on. If you get it in the red dot that's the size of a bucket with yours, and you're the first one during that day, you get like 5 hours free time, or you're maybe the first one in that hour, or once every hour. So they always have these things going on, and I think it's going to be good for the game, because this could get some of the kids in that are computer geeks. It just all they sit there, you know, sit at home. At least they can show up here.
maybe they'll bring them out into the golf course.
Right.
Yeah, I agree. And then from an instructional standpoint, it's good because at the driving range, the worst thing is people just bang balls. They never pick a target. So this is, you know, so focused on making points, getting it into the target, playing the games out there, that it makes you focus on different distances and hitting actually at something rather than just flailing away at a bucket of balls. But yeah, it'll be very interesting to see how this Topgolf goes over. It is going to be located. It is located. 94 and 694 with the 252 split.
Right. There used to be...
How do you get in there exactly? Do you go off 252?
First exit, just go 252 north. There's a Super America. Take a left and a left, and you're right there.
Okay.
That's yeah, I mean, I thought in the beginning it wasn't a good location, but, you know, it's right on of 6... I mean, you know, we think we know... More of the golfers are in the South and Southwest Metro. You know, Edina, Interlochen, Minnetonka, you know, Eden Prairie.
There's a lot everywhere.
And if I had to pick a spot, it would have been where the Vikings stayed, you know, the old Vikings workout was, headquarters.
Right.
That would have, on that side of town, right there, they would have had extra land. They still had the fields. I know they're turning that into a giant soccer complex now.
Okay.
And so that's sold, but to me, that end would have made a lot more sense. But we'll see. But anyway, I'm excited. Another thing to do that's golf related, and I'm just hoping it attracts people. Obviously, they've got 100 of them now. 100 of them. Think about that. So you know, some cities
people must like it then.
And Chicago has like 4. So obviously, if Chicago has that many, they know what they're doing with the cold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's going to be I want to go there Christmas, you know, right around Christmas and see, are they open or are they going to just, you know, have it closed down? He said, remember, they got some sort of shield or something that they're going to
block. Well, and like I said, that was the weird thing is that face north, which is like face north, Jack, you know, Lou Reed would say. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be very interesting. It's outside of my comfort zone as a Muni type of cheapskate, but, yeah. People get together for anniversaries and birthday parties and stuff like that. And yeah, it's not bad. So next week, what are you going to get on tap for yourself there, Mr. Stansbury? You going to get out?
This week I'm going Wednesday. I'm going to go. I got invited maybe tomorrow to go play the Meadows at Mystic Lake for a little money match. And I've been given some lessons. I had a great lesson today. This guy bought me at a charity event. Went over to the University of Minnesota. Driving range looks great. They're doing a whole bunch of work over there. I don't know if you knew that. Rerouting some holes.
They're rerouting holes?
Yeah.
Oh, get somebody on that, because I've always loved that golf course. Yeah. I'd like
to. Well, maybe we can get Tom Lehman. I think he's doing the design work. And talk about the 3M. That's what I'm going to do.
Okay.
When I go up to Topgolf, I'm going to go look at the new TPC Twin Cities.
What they're doing there. Okay, we got to get out there and play it.
See you next week.
That's very good.
Go out and play.
Yeah, thanks for listening to Tea Time.
Thanks, Manny.
All right, bye-bye, people.